One night, John Bunyan laid his head down to rest, and as he fell asleep, he started to dream. He dreamed of a man by the name of Christian. Christian was living in the city of destruction. The city of destruction being a picture of those who remain in their sin and do not turn away from their sin and turn to faith in Christ. They remain in their sin and go out into a lost eternity in hell. Now, whilst Christian was reading from the Bible, he realized that the city he lived, the city of destruction, it was going to be destroyed with fire from heaven. The city had been condemned to destruction because of their wickedness and because of their sin. Christian went to leave the city of destruction. He wished to leave this city and to get out before it was destroyed, but he was hindered greatly because of this burden that he had on his back. This burden was making it difficult for him to walk, difficult for him to sleep, or to do almost anything. This burden on his back was weighing him down so badly, he felt as if it was dragging him deeper and deeper to the clutches of a lost eternity. Here we see how Christian is fearful of hell and how he seeks to escape damnation from hell. But sadly, the burden which he carried on his back would not allow him to escape that destruction. Likewise, we have also read this evening from Matthew chapter 11, and we have read of certain cities of destruction in there. We have read in verses 23 and 24 of the land of Sodom. Sodom was destroyed by God. In Genesis 19, turn with me there very briefly if you will. In Genesis and the chapter 19, we read of the destruction of Sodom. And in Genesis chapter 19 and the verse 23, we read these words. Genesis chapter 19 and the verse 23, it says there, "The sun was risen upon earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld it. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt." Here we read in Genesis chapter 19 of the destruction of those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the reason given is in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. In 2 Peter 2 verse 6 it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Within this verse here in 2 Peter, we read of the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The reason that God rained down destruction upon these people. And it was because of their sin. He used them as an example to those who would live an ungodly life, to those who would still live in their sin. And sinner, if you have not accepted Christ into your heart this evening, then let me tell you, you are living just like Christian in the city of destruction. You're on the road to a lost eternity in hell. And I can tell you, you're living, certainly, unless you're ready to leave the city of destruction, you will end in a lost eternity in hell. I implore you, turn from your sin and turn to Christ, that you might have forgiveness of this sin. This allegory that I have stated to you, you'll probably know it well as The Pilgrim's Progress, that book that John Bunyan subsequently wrote after having that dream in prison. C.H. Spurgeon said of the book Pilgrim's Progress, "Next to the Bible, the book I value most is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I believe I've read it through at least 100 times. It is a volume of which I never seem to tire, and the secret of its freshness is that it is so largely compiled from the Scriptures." Later, Spurgeon said of John Bunyan that he bled the Bible. He bled the Bible. Such was the admiration that Spurgeon had for John Bunyan and his work, The Pilgrim's Progress. And I want to focus on the part of the story this evening that deals with the burden that Christian had upon his back. The burden that he had. This burden was weighing him down. This was the burden of sin. It is a burden that we each and every one of us carry, unless we have had forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are still outside of Christ, we carry this burden of sin. And this burden, if left upon our back, will drag us down into a lost eternity in hell. Therefore, it is important that you sit up, that you listen to what God has to say to you this evening, and realize that this burden is one which you have to get rid of. You may be conscious of it. You may feel the sin in your life. Or sadly, you may not even realize that this burden of sin that you're carrying around. And so today, I want to draw our attention to the verse number 28 of Matthew chapter 11. And it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." First off, I would like you to see, there is a criterion. There is a criterion. Within the verse that we have read, we read of people who labor and are heavy laden. Now, the word here, labor, in the original Greek, it indicates that feeling of fatigue, to be toiling and to be weary of work. The word heavy laden here in the Greek, it shows the picture of an animal, like a donkey, carrying a great burden upon its back, being overburdened with the load that it is carrying and ready to collapse. We all know what it is to have burdens. We all know what it is to have worries and fears in this life. And therefore, this is a criterion which we all fit into. We all at some point have labored. We all at some point have felt heavy laden in our life. And each of us know and can point to a time when we have felt these burdens in our lives. I'm sure we can all say that we have had times in our lives when we have faced difficult trials, and it seemed as if there was no way out at the time. My friend, this evening, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, the burden, the labor that you are facing is much greater than any burden that we could face in our life day by day. Just like Christian in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, you are carrying about this burden of sin. And yet, sadly, unlike Christian, you do not feel and realize the weight of your sin. You do not realize what it will do to you if you do not get rid of that burden. You do not realize that eventually it will lead to a lost eternity in hell. Or perhaps you're apathetic. You just don't care. You know you're carrying this burden of sin, but that's for another day. That's another problem for another day. Why should I get rid of it now? Why should I worry about it now? I want to tell you, if you're disillusioned and apathetic to your situation, and you just don't care, the Bible tells us in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And not just death, not just normal death in the sense of dying in this life, for that comes to all men, but it is eternal death. Eternal punishment in hell forever if we do not get rid of this burden. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You could spend all your time, all your wealth, all your resources, all your energy to gain everything that this world could offer. But what does the Bible tell us? It tells us it's all folly. King Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Everything that this world could offer you this evening is vanity. If you lose the most precious thing that you own, what will it matter if you have gained everything that this world has to offer you? Your never dying soul is the most precious thing that you possess. It will live throughout the endless ages of eternity in one of two places. And if you're still carrying your burden of sin and have not let go of it at Calvary, then you will end up in a lost eternity in hell. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Therefore, when we are born, we all carry this burden. We all carry this burden. We have all offended a just and a holy God in our lives. And therefore we must come to the realization that we are sinners, and God cannot allow sin in his presence. In that verse, Romans 3 and verse 23, it does say, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are not only sinners, but we have fallen so far short of the holiness that God requires that we can never be like a perfect God. We can never even come close to being like a perfect God. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, it says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." We have fallen so far short of God's holiness that we in and of ourselves cannot be reconciled or brought back to God. If I was to ask all of you in your cars this evening, if I was to ask you to get out of your car, which I'll not do, but if I was to ask you to get out of your car and to walk up to the main road that we have up there and ask you to jump from one side of the road to another without taking a step, to jump from one side of the road to the other without taking a step, I can guarantee you, some might get a quarter of the way, some might get halfway, even three quarters of the way, but no one would be able to make it the whole way across on a single jump. And so far, so infinitely more, we have fallen short of God's eternal glory. As just like us trying to obtain our own salvation, we will only get so far, but yet we will fall so far short, as we have no righteousness in and of ourselves. It says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." We are separated from God, and that is why we need to have that burden of sin dealt with, that burden of sin taken away at Calvary. So we come to the question, how? How can I get rid of this burden that I have? I acknowledge the fact that I have this burden of sin. How can I get rid of it? How can I be reconciled or be brought back to God? How do we, like Christians, lose this burden of sin in our lives? That's why we want to come, secondly, to see not only is there a criterion, but there is a command. There is a very simple command. Three words. Come unto me. Those are the words of Christ. That is what this verse says. Christ says, "Come unto me." We mentioned earlier about Christian in the book The Pilgrim's Progress and how he was weighed down by this heavy burden upon his back. And we have said this burden is the burden of sin. Where was it that he was finally free of this burden? It was at the cross. And it was at the cross where that burden rolled down the hill. It fell off his back, tumbling down the hill and into a tomb. That tomb was then sealed over, and never was his burden seen again. If we come to Christ and see him dying upon the cross for our sins, if we trust in him, if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he will give us this free gift of salvation, if we trust in him, that salvation that he has accomplished for us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we too can be free from the burden that each and every one of us carry. We must confess that we have sin in our hearts. That is the first step. We must confess that there is sin in our hearts. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There is a promise in this verse that we can cling to. We must repent of our sins. That means a complete turning away. It's as if you're going one direction and turning the complete opposite way. We must repent of our sins. And then we come to him in faith. We trust in the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. And that verse does not say that he might forgive us, that he possibly will forgive us, but he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we have to do is come. Jesus Christ himself said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is only one way of salvation. Only one mediator between God and man. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that we can have our sins forgiven. We can get rid of that burden that we have. But there is the command that God gives us. Come unto me. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There was a soap manufacturer and a pastor. They were walking down the street of a large city one day. The soap manufacturer, he casually said, the gospel that you preach, it hasn't really done much good, has it? Well, just observe. There's still a lot of wickedness in this world. There's a lot of wicked people. And what can you say about that? The world is wicked. People are wicked. Therefore, what you're doing, it hasn't done much good, has it? The pastor made no reply. And as they were walking further down the street, they passed a little child who was covered in dirt, covered in mud. And seizing the opportunity, the pastor, he said, I see that the soap that you're producing, the soap that you're manufacturing in your factory, it hasn't done much good to the world either. For look, there's many people that are dirty in this world. This child, for instance, he's covered in mud. Well, the soap manufacturer said back unto him, he said, well, the soap's only useful when it's applied, when we actually use it. And the pastor said, exactly, it's the same with the gospel. The gospel is only effective. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is only effective if it is applied. Christ shed his blood to save us from our sins, but we must come to him in faith and repentance. And when should we come? When should we accept his offer of mercy? Now. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off, as we are not promised even tomorrow. We are not promised any more time upon this earth than is given to us. And we know that if we come to Christ, if we come to him and accept his gift of salvation, he promises us in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So we see the command of Christ. It is, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. So we have seen the criterion, we have seen the command, and also lastly we would like you to see the comfort. There is a comfort in these words. What a promise we see at the end of verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. If we come to Christ, if we confess that we are sinners in need of his forgiveness, he has promised to take us in. After God receives us into his family, we then have great comfort. We can rest upon Christ. Christ promises us his peace also. In John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have peace. We have true peace. We have lasting peace as Christians, which can only be found in Christ alone. If we rest upon Christ today and turn to him, we can turn to him for a true rest, for a complete rest, and an everlasting rest. He alone can provide that full rest for those who labour and are heavy laden, as we have read of this evening. Now, that is not to say that the Christian life will be light, will be easy. That's not to say we will not have our problems and our difficulties here upon this earth. We read here in Matthew 11, verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now remember, we carry a yoke upon us as Christians. We carry the yoke of Christ. Christian, in the allegory of the Pilgrim's Progress, he found rest at that celestial city, a great picture of heaven. And while throughout this world we have our toils, we have our troubles in the Christian life, while we have our problems, Christ has promised us that one day we will be with him in heaven. He has promised us grace for every situation here upon this earth, but he has also promised us an eternal rest. And you can know that you are going to that eternal rest by trusting Christ to be your own and personal Saviour. St. Augustine said in his Confessions, O Lord, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. True rest, complete rest, full rest alone is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us at Calvary. And all we must do is turn from our sin and trust in his so great salvation that he has provided for us. Then we can be free of the burden of sin that we are carrying about. One day, if we are trusting in the Lord for our salvation, we will be taken home to be with him in heaven. In Revelation 21, and the verses 19 and 20, we read of the beauty, of the splendor of heaven. We read there a description of the foundation of the walls in heaven. It is embellished with sapphire, with emerald, with topaz, amethyst, and all manner of precious stones. There upon the streets that are paved with gold, the gates that are made of pearl, the tree that is planted by the crystal river that flows through it. We see the beauty of heaven. It is immeasurable. But yet, all that beauty, all that glory in heaven pales in comparison to the beauty and the glory of Christ. It says that Christ will be the light of heaven. His beauty outshines all other wonders in that celestial land. And he is our eternal reward. He is the one who keeps us, who preserves us eternally. And he is the one who we will be with forevermore. But in conclusion, I want you to turn to John in the chapter 5. John in the chapter 5, as we read some very solemn words. We have read some beautiful words this evening. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Words of Christ, a promise from Christ. But yet in John chapter 5 and the verse number 40, we read these words. John chapter 5 and verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might receive life. I wonder, could that be said of you this evening? Are you stubborn to the gospel? Are you obstinate to the call of God? Yes, you've heard the gospel many times. You hear it week in, week out. Perhaps you have parents that tell you that you need to be saved. Perhaps you have friends that implore you to turn to Christ. The work of Christ is finished. There upon the cross of Calvary, he cried, "It is finished," signifying that redemption was complete. There is nothing for us to add to it. We can have confidence. If we come to him, we rest in a complete work that he will apply to us. But yet, could it be said of you this evening, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life? My friend, I implore you, do not put off coming to Christ. Do not put off putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But come unto him. Those who are laboring, those who are heavy laden, and he has promised that he will give us rest. We can find our eternal rest in Christ if we turn from our sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May it not be said of you at the end of your life, as it was said in Isaiah 30 verse 15, and ye would not come. And ye would not. I trust and pray that you will listen to this promise, this verse that Christ is speaking through. These words of Christ this evening. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Christ this evening and find that complete and eternal rest for your souls.